Direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
So glad that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. This week on Abounding Grace, we are going to go to the Gospel of Matthew and look at the very well-known parable of the wheat and the tares. And let me begin this week by reading that parable, and then we'll expound it throughout the course of this week. This is Jesus in Matthew chapter 13, just after he had given the parable of the sower and explained the parable of the sower. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servant said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first, gather together the tares and bind them in bundles and to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" And then, of course, Jesus goes on later in the chapter in verse 36 to explain that. And that's what we're going to look at throughout the course of this week. Well, to open this up and to think through the major theme that we're working with here and what Jesus is doing in this particular parable, I begin today by saying that we never have really understood the extent of what we are called to in the Christian faith in light of what Ephesians puts out for us. Where there we're called to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. What does that look like? And where is that struggle the fiercest? This morning, we're looking at a particular dynamic in the life of the kingdom, which is God's rule, his great power, his rule, and this dynamic that explains for us the nature of the warfare to which the Christian has been enlisted. In the parable that is before us here on Abounding Grace this morning, Jesus provides us really an extensive contrast between two kinds of people, the imagery being that of wheat and tares. And Jesus here explains the nature of that relationship between these two different kinds of people. And he wants his sheep to understand this. We go on in life of the kingdom, and we really don't understand the dynamic of what is going on. And because we do not think enough upon this dynamic, this warfare, these principalities, these powers, it's extremely easy to lose heart when things happen to which we have no answer. Things in the life of the church, things in the life of this world, things in your personal life are often so evil and so damaging that often we just can't make sense of it all. Why is this struggle of life to this degree? You ever feel that? Some of you, maybe even in the life of the church who are listening today, have only known conflict. Some in your families, you've known fighting and broken relationships, and we turn on the news every night, and it's full of evil and darkness and conflict. And it's so easy to lose heart. And I believe that Jesus gives us this very fascinating parable to explain what life is really like in the kingdom, why the conflict is so fierce. So it's really a practical parable to clarify for us in the midst of so much confusion and heartache that the Lord is in control. And he does have a purpose in all of this. And that it is always for good, even when the conflict is fierce in the most unexpected of places. So this parable is intended to be a great encouragement and comfort for the Christian who lives for the moment in a godless age, in this present darkness, and in a world that is perishing. This parable explains for us the nature of our conflict, how great the struggle is, but that we should not lose heart because there is a purpose in it. This continued struggle that we face in the here and now is not forever. There is a time coming when the righteous will shine like the sun in glory, and until then, the Lord is teaching us here to understand the nature of the conflict to which we have been made partakers if we are Christians. And that just, by the way, flies against, and we have to understand that because that flies against a certain prosperity mentality, a certain health and wealth mentality, a mentality that everything in life, if you become a Christian, is going to go well, and you're going to be rich or whatever, or you're going to be healed from all these diseases, and if you're not healed, then something's wrong, or you're not exercising enough faith. Come on. That is not the picture the Bible gives. The Bible pictures a life of conflict in the present evil age. And Jesus explains that here. His main point is to comfort us so that we would understand what it means to belong to His kingdom, what the Christian life is like, and when it is this fierce and this the battle is that strong, that we would not lose heart. Well, let's jump into this today. You see this great point in the way that Christ delivers this parable. He had just got done giving this single parable, by which he said all other parables are to be understood. That was the parable of the sower. And there he described four types of hearers in the kingdom. There are those who, Jesus said in this first type of hearer, who hear the word and it goes nowhere. It's likened to a seed that hits a path and the birds come and devour it. Jesus says it's like that when the word is sown, the gospel is given, and Satan comes and snatches it away, right away, what was sown in the heart. Jesus says there are those kinds of hearers in the life of the kingdom of the word of God, and it makes no impact upon their life whatsoever. And then he said, that's the first kind of hearer. Then there's another kind of hearer who is like a soil that is full of stones. The seed of the word is cast upon it, the word is given, and they immediately hear and respond with joy, but there's no root. And that person, that kind of hearer, that kind of soil, endures only for a while. But when persecution and tribulation comes, he doesn't endure because the word, of course, calls him to a specific action, but he has no root. He has no foundation, and he won't do it. He abandons what he has heard as soon as he has to count the cost. And then Jesus says there's another kind of seed that lands among thorny places. These are those who are in the church. They hear the word, but we read, as Jesus here says, the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word so that it is unfruitful. In other words, they are not growing in the word at all. Their life consists in the abundance of what they have, and, well, that's where their interest remains. They can talk of their boats, they can talk of their animals, they can talk of their horses, they can talk about their cars, but there's no interest in the things of God. So they, says Jesus, do not bear fruit. But then there's a soil that does bear fruit, and they hear the word and understand the word, and their life is full of fruit. Now, the natural question that's going to arise is simply this. If you have these three categories of people in the life of the kingdom that are fruitless, and you have one kind of soil, one group that is fruitful, why is that so hard to tell? And if this is the phenomenon, to which category, my friend, do you belong? You see, this could bring real distress, couldn't it? This could be distressing teaching for the true believer, the true seed-bearing Christian, fruit-bearing Christian. Why is Jesus even teaching in parables? Well, that's where we get to the heart of what Jesus is doing here. Disciples, of course, had come up to Jesus and asked this. Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? In verse 10. And Jesus answered openly by saying, because it is given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. And then Jesus applies that by saying that he's fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah, that seeing they should not see and hearing they should not hear and understand. Jesus was through and through a prophet of judgment in the line of all the Old Testament prophets. But in the midst of these parables, he says in verse 16, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." What Jesus was essentially saying was that the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you because I have chosen to reveal these things to you. That is the reason that you hear and are a good soil and bear fruit. So the amazing truth here is that the doctrine of election is shining through in the midst of this very distressing teaching on the nature of the kingdom. Let me say that again. The amazing truth here is that the doctrine of election is shining through in the midst of this very distressing teaching on the nature of the kingdom. And that is why I've always said, people who despise the doctrine of election, can you imagine if this teaching were bare and without that truth? If the Lord just said this and left it all up to you, you would be frantic to think that whether you are a good or a bad hearer, or whether you were a weed or a tare, was dependent on your fruit bearing. And Jesus is saying openly that fruit bearing is a result of an ability to hear, which I determine to those whom I decide to bless, says Jesus. That's what he's saying here. Blessed are your eyes because they see. You have been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them, it's not been given. And you see, that's what happens here. What happens with this particular parable? Jesus tells the parable of the wheat and the tares, and in verse 36, he sends away the multitude. And what happens? Let me quote this for you, my friends. "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares in the field.'" They want to know about these tares. I want to understand what you're saying to us. Think about the blessing of this. What's happened here? If you hear this and understand these teachings, that is because you are blessed of the Lord apart from your works, and that hearing will undoubtedly produce fruit in your life. And so, what a dynamic that happens here. Jesus sends away the multitude and now explains the parable of the wheat and the tares only to his disciples. And he explains this in such a way that they would understand the nature of the kingdom, that they would understand how blessed they are to understand these things, that they are that good seed which is bearing fruit, as he says in Matthew chapter 13, that good soil. He who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. You see, what Jesus is essentially saying is an ability to hear the word of God and understand it, the result of that will be fruit bearing in your life. And you will be the most blessed person in the kingdom because you will be that wheat that is springing up, bearing fruit to the glory of God. So we're going to look at that this week and understand more of what Jesus is teaching here about the nature of this struggle, that we would not lose heart, that we would continue to bear fruit as Christians in this present evil age, even though there are tares among us. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, and we ask humbly both for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Again, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, or go to our website at agradio.org. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.